Okay, so to start off my message tonight, I want to ask you guys a question. So when you guys were younger, do you ever recall dating? I don't know if any of you guys dated when you were younger, but you know when you're young and you have this idealistic, you know, version of romance or love in your mind, you know, you have this, you know, sappy, you know, like puppy love, you know, idea of romance and love. And whether you dated or not when you were younger, I'm sure you guys are all, you know, innocent and naive at one stage in your life, and that you thought you might have figured it out, that you thought you might have figured out what love is, what romance looked like, what relationships look like. But really, obviously we didn't, because we were young. You know, I for one can definitely share an example with you guys. And so when I was 4 years old, I was very young, I was four. I still recall this moment. I was made a flower girl at a wedding. And together with me was a ring boy. And they put us in these little cute outfits, you know, and, you know, they were all looking at us, they were all staring at us, they were all making a big deal out of us because they thought we looked so cute. You know, they were, you know, snapping pictures of us, they made us hold hands with each other. And I guess I love the attention. I remember I kissed him on the cheek, and I declared out loud that I was going to get married to this guy. And I was just 4 years old. You know, this four-year-old me who barely knew anything about guys or marriage or romance or relationships, I had thought that I had found the man of my dreams. And I was so confident. I was so stubborn. I declared it to everyone. I was going around showing my photo to people, to my parents. And people thought, yeah, let her be her, let her be, you know, innocent, naive, you know, one day she'll grow up and realize. But, you know, I'm sure whether you guys were like me and you took yourself way more seriously than you should at 4 years old and thought you had everything figured out, whether you can relate with me or not, I'm sure maybe there's a time in your life where you just had this idealized conception or idea of love where you thought that you might have found your soulmate, or that one day you will find your soulmate. And especially, I guess, if you're a girl, or if you're, you know, someone like me and who loves to daydream about things. But the point is not this, you know, why am I bringing this up? Why am I sharing this with you guys? The reason why I'm bringing this up tonight with you guys, is because, as I was sharing earlier, we have these highly idealized, picture-perfect conceptions and ideas of what we think love might be sometimes. You know, it doesn't even have to be in the form of romantic love, but I'm just talking about the love, idea of love in general. You know, love, you know, we talk about it all the time. You know, we don't really know the difficulties that are involved with it, the sacrifice, the cost, the hardships that come with it. But just look around you today. Look, you know, look what you're surrounded by. Look at what you're surrounded by. Look at, you know, look at the media, and entertainment industry. Look at Hollywood. Look at, you know, the movies that are being produced. Look at the songs that are being released and being made. You know, people are seeking and longing for love. You know, people are seeking and longing for connection and meaningful relationships. And this is because, you know, this is what we're created for. And as I was saying, it doesn't have to be in the form of romantic relationships. We were made for connection. We were made for relationship with each other. We were made for intimacy. We were made to know people and to be known by others. And reality is that even we as Christians, as people who are meant to know what love is and meant to share that love, we are living in a world that is, you know, constantly seeking for that love and bombarding these different messages of what they think it might be. And so we have to be, as Christians, the ones to tackle this question and answer it. What is love? You know, what is the true definition? And what does God say about it? So if you guys wanted to take out your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John. 1 John. My apologies. I'm so sorry. 1 John. 1 John I did not say anything. First John, turn with me to chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 to 12. And please follow along very carefully. So I'm going to read from the ESV. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." So even we as Christians, we hear the word love a lot. You know, even in the church, you know, love thy neighbor, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love is patient, love is kind. You know, we use this word in church all the time. You know, it's not only a word that's, you know, used and tossed around, you know, outside of the church setting, but even within the church, we hear it all the time. You know, you see it on Christian posters, t-shirts, coffee cups. As one preacher, his name's Matt Chandler, puts it, we love to, as Christians, create standard Christian coffee cup statements. You know, statements like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, you know, love is patient, love is kind." And, you know, we stick these on, you know, t-shirts, you know, bumper stickers, and we stick it on the back of our cars. But we don't really truly assess the meaning and the weight of what those statements mean first. So could it be that we, even as Christians, have misunderstood this concept of love, and that we don't understand the weight it bears and the meaning that it carries? Could it be that even we ourselves tend to try and understand it, you know, through our own experiences, through our own emotions, through our own relationships with people, without seeking what it says in the Word of God? Because let me tell you something tonight. If the Word of God is not ultimately your source to know and understand what the love of God is, then you're not seeking for the true definition of love, especially as Christians who believe that the Word of God is our highest authority. And so we have to truly seek to understand what it means and apply it in our lives by looking at the Word of God. And so I want to take us on a bit of a journey tonight. And with a passage that I just read in 1 John, I want to go through it. I want to take you guys on a journey, and I want us to unravel what the definition of love is, and ultimately what the Word of God tells us, what the Bible tells us. So just to begin, if we look at 1 John, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7, starting from there, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." So what does it say here? I'm going to make it, you know, really simple and read directly from the passage again. It says, "Let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." So what does that mean? To firstly break it down, it says we are to love, for love is from God. We are to love because love is from God. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." So love is from God. In a world that's seeking for love and seeking to understand what it means, here's the answer. Love is from God. It says it just clearly in the text. "Let us love one another, for love is from God." I'm going to say it again. Love is from God. So in a world where we're constantly surrounded by messages that attempt to convey its own definition of love, in a world that's crying out for relationships, intimacy, and connection with one another, here is the answer. The source of love is God, and this is where it lies. This is how we're to learn what love is, and how we're to learn how to love one another, by understanding where the source is, and that's God. Love is from God. And then if you look at the second half of that same verse 7, it says, "Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." says, knows God. So again, if you want to know what love is and know how to love, it says you must know God and recognize that He is the source of love. It says, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So that means knowing God must be a prerequisite of loving others. And so God is the source of love. And so if we are seeking to understand what love is, we must trace it back to the source, who is God. And if we want to know love, we have to know God. So then to reiterate what I just said, God is the source of love, and therefore to know love, we must know God. So the question that I'm wanting to ask you guys tonight then, you know, as we're living in a culture that tells us how we are ought to love one another, how we're ought to build friendships with one another, how we're meant to connect with one another, do you really know love? Is the love that we know as clearly as Christian distinct to the love that those outside of the church know? If you want to really hold on to what the Word of God says, then you must know God, because He is the source. You know, as Christians, I feel as though we, you know, tend to forget this truth. And it's such a simple and basic truth, you know. But I still feel like sometimes, you know, we seek after and chase after emotional fulfillment. You know, we chase after our own ideals, our own experiences, you know, relationships with others. Not that these things, you know, are bad, but we value those things higher than God. But here it says in the Word of God tonight that the source of love is God. And if you want to know love, as I was saying, then you have to seek for God, because He's a source. So then my next question is, do you know God if He is a source of love? Do you really know God as those who claim to have a relationship with Him? You know, and I'm sure most of you here do have a relationship with Him. If I were to ask you the question, do you have a relationship with God? Your answer would be yes. Most of you, at least. And even as those who claim to know Him and have a relationship with Him, do you really know Him? Because if I were to ask you the question to you guys tonight, who is God? And you had to answer that question in 3 sentences, in less than a minute, how would you answer it? Would you have something to say right away? It's like me probably asking KK, who is Maria? You know, as someone, you know, because they're like very close friends and they know each other very well. And so I'm sure that KK would be able to answer that question. And so similarly, I'm asking you guys that same question with that in mind, you know, in the same way. Who is God? Do you know God? You know, have you guys been thinking about Him? Has He daily been pervading your thoughts, your mind, your very being? Is your life an accurate representation of someone who claims to know Him and follow Him and believes in Him? Or is God just someone that you like to carry around as, you know, an accessory to make yourself look better? Is He someone that you just seek when you need Him? Do you really know who He is? You know, it's a preposterous question for me to be asking you guys as those who claim to be Christians, at least if you say that you believe in God and you know Him. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the passage again. You know, in verse 8, after verse 7, if we look on at the next verse, it goes on to make so far of a statement as, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. What does it say? It says, if you do not love, it's not because you don't have enough friends. It's not because you're not in a romantic relationship. It's not because you're not selfless enough of a person. It's not because you're not caring enough as a person. But it says it's because you don't know God, because God is love. It says anyone who does not know how to love does not know God, because God is love. Again, going back to what I was saying earlier. Do you want to know what love is? God is the source of love. If God is the source of love and we're seeking to understand love, then do you know God? Because here it says clearly, if you don't know love, maybe it's because you don't know God. Even as those who say that you believe in Him and trust in Him and follow Him, maybe you're not as well as acquainted with him as you thought you were. And so let me ask you that same question again. Who is God? Do you know him? Do you really, truly, personally, and intimately know him? As someone who is your friend, as someone who is your father, as someone who has saved you and has reached out to you and initiated love first with you. I want you guys to ask that question to the person sitting next to you. Do you know God? And I want you guys to think about that for a second. Do you know God? Who is God? Think about it for a second. Think about the question that I just asked you guys. Who is God? And, you know, think about how you would answer that question in even around three sentences. Well, yeah, would you guys like to know who God is? Who wants to know who God is? Well, I'm glad that you guys want to know who God is. Because that's why we came here tonight, right? But let me share with you who God is. Let me share with you what it says in the Word of God. So then let's go on to verse 9. In verse 9, it says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." So God has made himself known to us. It says in the text, again, that this is the love of God by him making himself manifest among us through his Son, by him giving us his Son, by sending his only Son into the world. And so if you would like to know who God is and remember who he is again to you in your own personal lives, let me tell you who he is. God is the one who made himself manifest among us through sending his Son into the world so that we might live through him. If you want to know him, understand how he has made himself known to you. Understand how he has made himself manifest through his Son. You know, earlier on in 1 John, yes, 1 John, in chapter 1, you know, verses 1 to 3, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And so God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world in the flesh, and he was made incarnate so that he could reveal himself to us and make himself known to us. And even though we might not be able to physically witness him and see him with our eyes today, that's why he's given us his word, right? And, you know, the author John, who wrote this, the couple of verses that I just read in chapter 1, he wrote that after he physically witnessed Jesus to testify about what he saw and what he witnessed. And Jesus Christ is ultimately the living word. In John 1, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So then, if you want to know God, know and understand that he has made himself manifest to us. He is the one who has shown himself and revealed himself and appeared as a man to us. And he is the Word of God. And it is through the Word of God that we are able to acquaint ourselves with him, that we are able to grow in our knowledge of who he is, that we are able to grow in relationship with him. So God sent his Son to us. And that is the ultimate way that the God of the universe has shown himself to us, by giving us his Son in the incarnate flesh. And I know that we speak of this all the time too. You know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." How many of you guys know this verse? You know, we might have heard it over and over again. It's, you know, those typical Sunday school Bible verses that you might have heard when you were growing up. You know, again, one of those Christian coffee cup statements that we so easily like to, you know, just, you know, wear around on t-shirts or, you know, put on bumper cars, bumper stickers on the back of our cars. But it carries so much weight, guys. God gave his son for us, that he spared his son for us. And I feel like, you know, as those who have been in the church for such a long time and those who have claimed, you know, I've known God for such a long time, I've been following him, you know, we still tend to undermine this, that God willingly spared his son for us. You know, that he gave his one and only son up, Christ, for us. You know, the perfect relationship that was shared between the Father and the Son in the Trinity was broken for the first time as God gave his son for you and for me and for us. And so this is how we are to know God, through understanding that he has given us his son. But why has he given us his son? That's the next question. I want you guys to look at with me in verse 10. And in verse 10, if you want to follow along with me, it says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." So this is why God gave us his son. Because this is what love is. "In this is love, not that we have loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Do you want to know love? Then know the source, God. Do you know God? He made himself known to us through his son. And this is ultimately love. And as we just read, he has given us his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so we're just going to pause for a second there and stop at that word propitiation. So what does that word propitiation mean? Let's just focus on that for a second. John Piper says, "Christian propitiation is the work of God to absorb his divine anger towards sinful man." So propitiation means, just to make it simple, that God fully poured out his wrath onto his son, the very wrath that man deserved. And this wrath was fully absorbed by Jesus so that we would be able to be declared as righteous, as perfect, as forgiven. And so propitiation means that Jesus Christ has taken our place. And so that's why God has sent his son, to be the propitiation for our sins, to take our place. And this isn't something that you're just meant to know for the first time when you enter into salvation and relationship with God. Guys, let's not undermine this. God gave us his son for us because he loves us. And this is what love is. And, you know, that's what we're talking about tonight, love, right? And if we want to know love and if we want to know how to continue living in love, then we have to continuously go back to the source, who is God. And if we want to go back to that source, we have to know him and we have to familiarize ourselves with him. We have to acquaint ourselves with this God. And if you want to know him, then you have to continuously speak this truth to yourself, that God has given me his son. And it's because of this love that I'm able to love others. And so, kind of just to summarize what I've gone through, and just, you know, the journey that I've taken you through, First John in chapter 4, you know, I first started with a question: what is love? And then we arrived at the conclusion that the source of love is God, because it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, love is from God, and that's why we are to love one another. So then to know love, we must know God. Who is God? God is the one who gave his son for you. Why has he given us his son? So that you might know him, that you might be in relationship with him, and so that he would be the propitiation for our sins. And so then, that's great, right? That's great that Jesus died for us, that he was meant to be the, you know, we learned a new word tonight, propitiation for our sins, that he's taken our place, that he's absorbed our wrath, you know, the wrath of God that was meant for us, the punishment that we deserved. That's great. Do we just stop there? Should I just finish the sermon and that's it? No. You know, what are we to do with this truth? We're meant to respond to it, guys. You know, if you have received this truth as your own, the very fact that the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him, and that in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. What do we do with this truth? We have to do something with it. How are we to live in light of it? It says in verse 10, again, if you wanted to turn back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is what I really want to hone in on today. That we are called to love because God has so loved us. If there is a practical application that I want to give you guys through tonight's message, it's this. Love because God has loved you. Love because God has loved you. And, you know, as I was saying, we're living in a world, you know, that is constantly trying to seek for connection, for intimacy, for meaningful relationships. And, you know, even us as Christians, we're surrounded by this. And if we don't go back to the Word of God, if we don't go back to the source of love, which is God himself, it is very easy, let me tell you, for us to forget what the true definition of love is. It's very easy for us to forget what it says in the Word of God. And so we have to hold on to it with all that we have. Because let me tell you guys, you know, inside of us, you know, of course we have the Holy Spirit, we've been forgiven, you know, we have been, you know, made righteous, you know, we're being sanctified, but we still have a sinful nature inside of us. And that sinful nature causes us to not want to love each other. And its inclination is to be selfish and to, you know, follow our own ideals of love, as I was saying, you know, to seek for maybe emotional fulfillment, to seek for our own experiences. And so this is why we need the Word of God. And this is why, as Christians, we say that the Word of God is our foundation and that it is a foundation of our faith. And guys, I know how difficult it is to love, you know, offense, bitterness, hardness of heart. This is something that we all struggle with, you know, and it's not just something that comes up once in a while, but, you know, even small little things like, you know, that one person who might really annoy you, I don't know, with their laugh or something, or even if it's, that's just an example, it's not a real person. So don't worry. Or even if it's something as big as, you know, maybe somebody, a friend might have gossiped behind your back. You know, this is something that we encounter every day. You know, every encounter that we have with people, every conversation that we engage in, we have this temptation to close our hearts. You know, there might be that one person, you know, even here in Shilim, that you've been trying to avoid for weeks. And I'm just being real with you guys. There might be that one person who irks you. There might be that one person who might have gone so far as to maybe even betray you or talk behind your back. And it is really hard to love when these things happen. Even in a Christian community, as I was saying, you know, we are being sanctified. And of course, we look different to the world and we're called to look different from the world. But sometimes these things happen. And it's just the way that we respond that is meant to be different because we know what love is, right? You know, it's even hard to love those who are closest to you. You know, I'm sure those who are married, I've never been married, so I can't say. But, you know, Lydia and James, Pastor Sky and James, even they can probably confess that. You know, sometimes it's hard to love. And marriage isn't always perfect. It's not always easy. And so if it's hard to love those who are closest to you, how are we to love those who we barely know? How are we to love those who we find it hard to get along with, those who may be different people to us? And the answer is not to just, you know, gloss over your offense and just to look over it, but it's to really tackle these things head on and address what might be in your heart and to understand what it says again in the Word of God. You know, and we are ultimately called to be a church and a community for a reason. You know, we're ultimately called to be in relationship with each other and do life with one another. And, you know, we always say that let's do life with one another. Let's, you know what it means to be vulnerable with one another and pray for each other and, you know, encourage one another and, you know, spur one another on in love. Let's carry one another's burdens. But, you know, it's easier said than done. And so if we want to become that genuine and authentic and real community, you know, we have to love. And, you know what C.S. Lewis says? He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with your hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. And so this is why it's hard to love, because when you are loving other people, you are being vulnerable with them. You're opening your heart up to them. You're giving them the chance to disappoint you, giving them the chance to possibly let you down. And like I was saying, whether it's a minor offense or whether it's a bigger issue, letting people into your own life, your own space, your own heart, you know, that is a difficult task. Building relationships is hard. And, you know, even I'll admit this myself, and it's something that I'm learning to live out daily in my life. It's a daily choice. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily action. You know, to reach a certain level of depth and connection with people is hard. You know, to become that community that we envision to be. But I'm not just saying all of this so that we can be hopeless, obviously. I'm not saying this to say, you know, it's hard and, again, to leave it at that. But the reason why I'm sharing this is so that, as I was saying, we can tackle this head on and understand, you know, the different issues that we may be facing in our hearts and understand what it says in the love of God and the Word of God and how we are to respond. And so, let me tell you today, the key is to not try harder. It's not to be better. It's not to be more selfless. It's not to be a better person. Because if that were really the solution, if love was that, let me tell you, all of the world's problems by now probably would have been fixed. Because from many generations ago, people have always strived to be better people. They have strived to be more charitable, to be more loving, more selfless. But where are we today? If that were really the way to go about things, all of the world's problems by now, I'm sure, at least most of them, the majority of them would have been solved. But that is not the answer. Keys, not try harder. If you listen to anything that I've shared with you guys tonight, it's about knowing the source of love. It's about understanding what it says in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the foundation of our faith. It's understanding who God is and God's love for you. Let me read again what it says from the passage that we just read. Beloved, if God loved us, we also ought to love one another. Yeah, God is the one who loved us first. He's the one who reached out to us. We are the ones who actually betrayed him, who turned our backs against him, who sin constantly time and time again. We are probably the ones who hurt him. And yet, with all of this foreknowledge that he had, knowing this, he chose to keep his heart tender and he chose to love by giving us his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And like I was saying, guys, this isn't something that we can undermine and choose to, you know, just leave on our coffee cups and just look at when we're drinking our morning coffee every day. But we have to really understand the depth and the weight of what this means and what it's meant to do for us in our own lives. As we meditate upon the gospel and what Jesus has done, or what God has done by giving us His Son, by really understanding the very meaning of that, that is meant to enable us to love one another, to leave aside offense, to forgive one another, to keep our hearts tender, to not leave people at an arm's length, to not put a facade in front of people and pretend that everything's okay. Because what other people have done to us and what we believe has offended us, we've done the very same thing to God. And He has loved you. And He has given us His grace. And He has declared us as righteous when we didn't deserve it. And this is who we are. And He has given us His Spirit to enable us to love, to become that community that we truly envision to be, to reach out to others, to initiate relationships with people like He has initiated relationship with us first. And so, again, I want to ask you guys tonight, after sharing all of this with you, do you know God? I hope after tonight and what I've shared with you guys, you've begun to think about that question. And I've just shared, you know, what it says in the Word. I've just shared, you know, everything about what it says in 1 John. But to you personally, have you had that revelation? Has that become true to you in your own life? That God really loves you. That it isn't something that we just leave, you know, in the past when we were first saved, but something that we choose to receive again and again, so that it will allow us to, allow our hearts to remain in a place where it's tender, open, where we can forgive. And so, do you know God? And I want to challenge you guys to think about that question even after you leave tonight. Who is God to me? Who, you know, what has He done for me in my own life? You know, you guys all have your own personal testimonies of how God has worked in your life and what He's done. You know, think about that again and allow that to enable you to love others. And I'm just going to close with this. If we look at the last verse of the passage that we read, it says, if we love one another, then God's love is made perfect and we are able to know it. Oh, no one has ever seen God if we love one another. God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And, you know, we can't see God. We can't visibly see Him. And, you know, I just asked, do you guys know God? And you're probably thinking, you know, even when I can't physically see Him, you know, how am I to know this God and believe in Him and trust in Him and have faith in Him? It's by loving one another. That's how His love is perfected in us. And so, I'm just going to invite you guys to close your eyes right now.